Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level, and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. I'm a soul abundance guide and creator of Soul Money Languages. I am truly delighted to have you all along for a ride for another episode. And for those of you who have been here before, you know that this podcast is really all about creating a new paradigm around money, really wanting people to get away from this idea that money is about power and worth, that money is not about, you know, working your fingers to the bone to prove that you're worthy of receiving it, or even that money has to be something that's painful, something that we need to, you know, put our blinders up and charge ahead. I really am excited about bringing people into a new paradigm for money, which I call soul abundance, which is all about putting divinity and soul at the center so that when we are working on our really personal and specific relationship with money, we are centered in a place that has divinity at its heart, that has unlimited resources, and the idea that, you know, we're all in this together at its heart. And when we do that, money now has a new sense of joy and freedom and ease. And honestly, what we're doing here is bringing consciousness to money. And I couldn't be happier to have a guest today who has put bringing consciousness to money, creating brand new relationship with money at the center of her career for a number of years. And I'm really delighted to welcome you, Barry. This is Barry Tesler. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thanks so much for having me. Thank you.
Yeah. So let me just say a little bit about Barry. She is maybe most importantly a mompreneur. She's a financial therapist and has created a year-long program called The Art of Money, which I know you're in the middle of launching for the next year. So I will get a chance to chat about that. And she, you know, before you were a financial therapist, you worked in somatic therapy, which is all about body-centered approaches to healing. And that's one thing that I'm really anxious to talk to you about today. But I think my favorite thing that you have to say about money is that it is an elephant worth friending. And every time I read that or see that, I get a little bit of warmth in my heart because I don't feel quite so alone, that I'm not just this geek that loves talking about money, that, it, you know, money really is something that is at the center of our lives and is important to bring into this realm of consciousness. So welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So we could take this conversation in lots of different directions, but I'd like to start maybe by talking about what it means to you to bring consciousness to money. How would you talk about consciousness and money, and why it's even important to do that?
Yeah, I have to share a personal story if I'm going to explain that. And the personal story is that in my 20s, when I became clear that I wanted to be a therapist, and I went to graduate school at the age of 24 to train in somatic psychotherapy. So I tried going to talk therapists as a 16-year-old, and it was okay. But I knew there was a lot that I could pretend, or we just couldn't get underneath the surface. I knew I needed other creative ways to access. And I knew there was so much emotion going on in my body, right? So when I heard of somatic therapy, I ran to graduate program. And in during that time, the main themes that I was studying were body and intimacy and sexuality and grief and death. So those were my topics. Those were my favorite topics during that time. And I worked in the mental health field and did my internships in the mental health field and worked in hospice from all different angles. And so I spent most of my 20s studying those topics. And money was never on my radar. Never. And then my school loan came due at the age of 28. And that was a huge epiphany moment for me because I realized that, one, when I looked back at my graduate school, we had studied every other topic and subject except for money. And it was, you know, it was mind-blowing to me. How was I going to work with couples if that's the biggest elephant in the room around couples, if that on the surface is the reason most couples get divorced, which it's not money. It's that they don't know how to communicate well about money, right? They give money has such deeper meanings. It brings up all so many concepts you've already named, power and responsibility and enoughness and value and right. So I just was like, it was alarming to me when my school loan came due that this was never taught as I was becoming a therapist. And so I didn't know my own relationship to money, let alone how I could help couples, let alone how I would be able to ever start a business or practice and do all the bookkeeping. So it was such a missing piece that in that moment, I was like, either I'm going to go running away, screaming, you know, never look back and not deal with my student loan or the topic of money, or I'm going to deal with it and face it in the same way that I faced all those other big topics that were scary, that were the elephant in the room, that were brought up shame for me. Right. And, right. And so when I and the other thing is that in that moment, I thought I was the only one with money issues. I thought I was the only one with money shame.
Right.
And
right.
Pretty quickly I got, and so I'm going to finish my answer to your question, but pretty quickly I got to see that I wasn't the only one, that people from all different lineage, economic class, income levels, that we all had shrinks around money. We all had challenges. We all had some shame. So that was a huge epiphany. And so when I decided that it was time to create my own work around money, I had to bring all the tools and practices that I was studying as a somatic therapist, that I was studying at a Buddhist-based graduate program. So that was, it was steeped in spiritual practice. I had to bring deeper tools of playfulness and creativity and deeper meaning and awareness and mindfulness. So I created a whole methodology that had all of these tools and practices that I was living in every other area of my life, but I never thought I could connect them with money. And as soon as I did, it was like, okay, you know, all the people who go to the traditional money books, and those are good and fine. We need to know how to pay down debt. We need to know investing. But it was missing so much for me around awareness, mindfulness, and around how to work with all the money emotions. So that's a beginning answer. That's a beginning. Excuse me.
Right. So many things to pull out from what you had to say there. And I think that the thing that I'm nodding my head the most around is this idea that when we carry shame around money, that we think we're the only one, right? We think that, but what's really fascinating is it doesn't matter whether you are somebody who is living paycheck to paycheck or not paycheck to paycheck, or someone who has so much extra in your bank account that you can do whatever you want. None of us are immune to this, to the idea of money shame. Can you talk a little bit more about what that means?
Yeah, you know, and that was fascinating to me from day one, because I would see people who had family wealth and had an inheritance, and they had their own set of money shame. And we could say, well, why would they have money shame? Or they're in a great place. But that was also one of the reasons why I wanted to do groups right away instead of just one-on-one work. I wanted people to get in the room. Even when I did tiny little groups, taught tiny groups of 10 people, we all came from different places. And so we were able to see right away, again, no matter what lineage, background, income levels, whether most families just did not talk about money. Again, if you came from more of a working class, lower class family, middle class family, you had your own set of, I grew up middle class, I had my own set of shame. And whether you came from more of an upper, you know, wealthy class. And shame is for me just, I'm not okay. Something's wrong with me. I'm stupid. The way I do this is wrong. Everyone else learned this, but me, I'm not okay. And shame comes up whenever we're going to take on any big topic or whenever we're going to really look inside and say, what is my relationship here? What do I do well? What do I not do well? What did I learn? And so everything from our families didn't talk about it, from all different sides, to this was not taught. Financial literacy and financial education were not taught from grade school and up in small increments. Either was emotional literacy. So we're getting a double whammy there. And so shame just comes up for us because we think we should know this. I even knew so many women in the corporate world, high you know, earners, but felt so much shame because they were spending beyond their means. They were still going into debt. They weren't tracking their numbers. Like, it just, it shows up in so many different ways. And it's all those things from we don't talk about it, so it's still a taboo, that's changing, to we were simply not given a full, complete financial education. And we think everyone else knows how to do this, or we don't know how to ask for help, or we think we shouldn't, you know, and instead of there's a whole financial team of bookkeepers and accountants and financial coaches and planners and financial therapists and on and on. And one of the things I love to teach is just, what are the differences? What are the different roles? And who do we go to? It's a whole area and a specialty that, and there's a lot of support and help out there. So shame is just a first emotion. It feels like it's this thick coat. We're not okay. Something's wrong with us. And then when we can either step into a group or read someone's blog or read someone's book or listen to you and realize, like, everyone has money issues, you know, and you all have things that are good that you need to, like, sometimes I have people, step one, write out a list of five things that you do well with money. And someone may say, oh, I tip really well. Oh, I raised as a single mom my son until his 20s. He's become a really wonderful young man. I did that as a single mom. Okay, I did that for, you know, I'm all right. That's one of the things. Like, yeah, I still have some debt, but I did that. And so sometimes I need people, even in the shame, to just list out five things that they do well. And sometimes, you know, that's not the cure, but that's not always the antidote. Lastly, for me, the antidote to money shame is my first tool that I teach, the body check-in. And this comes from my somatic training. And it's asking yourself to stop and pause in all the daily money interactions, when you're gonna go online and look at your balance, when you're gonna go have a money conversation and tell someone your fees, when you're gonna go have a money conversation with your spouse or with your children or your parents, anyone, right? And you stop and pause, or when you're going to do online shopping, right? Yeah.
That's a very good check-in, yes.
Pause and say, what's going on in a physical level, sensation level? What are the emotions? The emotions can be anything from anger, sadness, anxiety, shame, guilt, falling asleep, checking out,
right,
to joy, excitement. I can talk about that more, but just giving yourself a moment to check in with your body. It's not a cure-all, and it takes practice, and it's not one and done. It's doing a body. I just said a potty. Oh my God. A body check-in, because I tell a story of going to the bathroom and doing body check-ins in a car dealership. And
found its way in there.
It's in there. Anyway, so just checking with your body on all those levels before you're going to have that moment, that money conversation, in the heat of the moment when you're realizing you're having strong emotions, or even after as a debriefing. And for me, that's what unshames. There are many things that unshame, being in a group, right? But the body check-in as a tool, as a practice daily, is something that really, really, really helps over time.
That really resonates with me, right? And I think that it helps us to stop disconnecting from money and just letting money just be one more piece of the puzzle, right? It's just one more piece of the puzzle. And it is part of, it's literally part of everything that we do. You know, and also when you're talking about creating or manifesting, the body has to be involved. That's how, right? The energy comes through divinity, through the body, and then out into our physical experience. And when you divorce the body, it's really hard to create more of what you want. The other thing that I wanted to talk about that sort of a thread through what you've been speaking about is that this is when we're talking about money. I think one of the places where shame comes from, or at least it did for me, was the numbers that you're supposed to have, or the way you're supposed to handle money, or who you're supposed to talk to about money. And one of the things that I love about what you teach, and I'd love you to speak to a little bit more, is that you really put you in the center of the relationship, right? That it's how, that there are no rules other than how you yourself would like to work with money.
Yeah.
Right.
That goes back to all the original books that I read were by older white guys. And, you know, they tell you exactly how to do things and a lot of tough love. And right from the beginning, I was like, this is not going to work for me. I had so much tough growing up with my own father.
There's a lot of pain around money. There's no need to do more of it.
There's no need to do more. Like, let's add in compassion. Let's add in love. Let's add in gentleness, right? And that you need to find your own way, right? There's no right way. And we all do it a little different. And so I do want to teach people to find their own way and check in with their own intuition. And that goes back to the body, as you were saying. And then I create so many tools to make it more personal and meaningful. Everything from when I sit down to a bookkeeping system, I have people rename their categories. And it may seem like what's a big deal about naming, but I think words are powerful, and they set intention. They honor what's happening. There's so much in the honoring and the setting of intention and words. Choices are very important. Like, most people don't love the word budget. You might be fine with, right?
Oh, budget and me, we're like this, right? Yeah.
Right. For many, it feels like, again, there's a right way to do it. It's a rigid diet, and all of that, instead of no, you get to do this your way. So I have people rename their categories as just one. So everything from renaming rent or mortgage to home, or sanctuary, or love shack, or, it makes me silly, but a financial planner gave me that one. She was newly married for the second time in her 40s and was so happy. And so she stood up in like a big conference and said, love shack. I would rename it love shack. And other people rename their debt. And this is where it gets a little deeper, instead of that damn debt or that time in my life, I always say, what was really going on? And it could be a health crisis. It could be a spiritual crisis. It could be I was transitioning from the corporate world to start my own work in the world that I've been afraid of and wanting to do for so long. It was my wife went through cancer and she made it. And these are the medical bills for that. Or even, I had someone like who couldn't even look at the numbers and come up with a payment plan. And I said, what was really going on? She said this debt was mostly this really huge adventure and trip to Italy that changed the course of my life. Mm. And so she was really, really playful and changed it to my big Italian adventure. But as soon as she renamed it and honored who she was and what was really going on during that time and how she used those resources, she was pretty quickly able to see the amount, come up with a payment plan that worked on a monthly basis. And then actually, every month paid that off. And so it's really interesting what renaming can do. And so I want people to sit at their bookkeeping system and to know this is yours. This is not your mom's. This is not your aunt's. Everyone spends and earns and saves and gives and invests money in different ways. And everyone has their strong opinions. But we have to find what our own values are, what our own priorities are, put them in the bookkeeping system. And that's just one tool. I have many, many. But that's just one way to sit down. It's your money. It's your life.
Yeah.
You get to really see how you're living and spending and earning in accordance with your values, where you're not. We're not always doing that. Sometimes we're working towards that, but that's a way to begin to make it more your own. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think what this really illustrates is one of the reasons that I love money. And I too did not start in the money arena. I started actually working with women around fertility issues. That was where I started. And through my own journey with money, ended up bringing that creative process into money. But one of the things that I do really love about money is that it gives us the opportunity to grow in ways that have nothing to do with our bank accounts, right? When you can sit down and think about, all right, here was this trip to Italy that changed my life. It's a place of expansion, right? Money then is highlighting our expansive places. So when we make friends with it, it really offers us so many opportunities beyond just, you know, growing that bank account to where it should be.
Yeah, I want to say something about that. I mean, I think that was what propelled me early on. It was, I have a master's degree. I'm working in the mental health field. I'm making $11 an hour full time. I can't show up at dinners with a basket full of chocolate, like I would love to do. I can't get any massage. And so I felt really stuck. And I felt like I hit a money ceiling. It was $2,000 a month. I couldn't get beyond $11. And, you know, I was frustrated. But it was also, that was the moment where I said, okay, this is a challenge. This is an opportunity. Like, what do I want? How can I get to the next level? How can I move beyond this money ceiling? How can I even imagine creating a livelihood, doing work that I really love, also earning? And so every one of those moments when I've had some kind of stuck or challenged place or even a really direct money curveball, they're not easy, they're uncomfortable, they're awkward, but they're always moments that challenge me to go deeper in the work that I want to do, and grow that or be more generous, or it's just always a challenge moment on every single level. And it's connected and related to money. Mm-hmm. And it's about money, but it's not about money.
You know what? I had a coach. Oh, this was a long time ago. And it was during a time of my life, part of my money story is my husband has been through multiple year long, unemployment stints, and, you know, being a mom of three and there's $10 in the checking account. And, you know, I had a coach who said to me once, you know what, Jennifer, it's never about the money. And she was trying to upsell me on some program of hers. And, you know, it wasn't, I knew in my gut that it wasn't about the money. But when the checking account says it's about the money, that gets to be a little bit scary. So, you know, I think that we really have an opportunity to, as I said before, right, to grow and expand through those moments. But they also, we get to be really gentle with ourselves, right, so that when one of those challenges is present, that we're not berating ourselves, which is what I chose to do in that moment, right, was to berate myself over the fact that I couldn't do that upsell program. But when we can be more gentle and kind and loving and see it as this opportunity for challenge and expansion, right, then solutions start to pour in.
Certainly. But I think those moments of ebbs need to be really honored.
Yes.
We might go into initial berating ourselves, but hopefully we can catch it quickly and honor this is a transition. Every human goes through them. We have ups and downs in life and money. And, you know, when I first had my son, my income went way down because I had to recover and I had to change my whole business model. And my husband just got laid off. It like all happened at the same time.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And so, but I had to say to myself, we're in a transition. This is not forever. Yes, we need to really be mindful of expenses and really decrease for this time. But again, it's not forever. It's for a certain period of time. And to honor that, I had to say that to myself every day, you know, during that time,
yeah. Right.
And then, right, you sit through that and you just honor. And it may feel like, oh, I can't spend, right? But it's just a short period of time. And so that's where it is about the numbers. You have to get, you know, you have to be really mindful of where you're spending and where you're not during that time. And then, to start asking and to feel all the feelings, you know,
yep.
this is not forever. But then to start to ask the new questions, as you said. And I love asking questions like, how can I do this differently? Name 10 ways that I can bring an income in a way. It just like throw it out there, get really creative, put anything on the paper. Where can I get support? And you just start asking new and different questions. And from there, it could take a few days, it could take a few weeks, it could take a few months. That's where the new creative solutions come from, if you stick with the questions and asking them in different and new ways. Yeah.
Beautifully said. And, you know, one of the things that I've started, the way I've started terming things when I work with my clients is to talk about money as a long game, right? I have a lot of people, not as many now as I did maybe early on in my career who, you know, it's instant. I want to change. It needs to be now. And if it doesn't happen then the next month, I'm on to something different. Can you speak a little bit, you've already started, but can you speak a little bit more to that idea that we're really looking over the long term and that when, especially when it comes to the first part of the process, doing some of that deeper healing, that we're talking the long game here.
We are. And I call it baby steps and I call it continually fine tuning, right? There's a huge mountain. Again, because we weren't taught a financial education and financial literacy and emotional literacy from grade school on up. We're learning it, most of us, as adults.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Now, yeah. 18 to 75, but that's because mothers are bringing their daughters now, but it used to be 25 to 75, right? So we're learning as adults. So I see this as lots of baby steps that lead to change and celebrations along the way. And the beginning for me is it goes money healing, money practices, and then money maps. And I can't believe that I used to teach that in a weekend workshop or you know, a 6-week class with 10 right. people. But that's how we started, you know, and then it just grew, right? To longer and more people. And now it's a year-long program. And some people then are done, but really it's a continual fine-tuning for years and years to come. I'm continually fine-tuning my own relationship to money. But the money healing needs to come first. And people sometimes have questioned this, like, can't I just get right to the bookkeeping? And I always say, if you're dying to start a bookkeeping system and track your numbers, go for it. You know, some people really need the permission to just like wait and do some of that deeper work to, one, understand what are the emotions that come up, name them, get some tools on how to learn to name the emotions, sit with them, work with them, right? So they're not just overwhelmed by them, so that we're not in a fight, flight, freeze all the time. And then also in that time, it's really understanding what your money story is and what you learn from your family of origin, parents, grandparents, your lineage, heritage, religion, spirituality, and on and on. And yeah, you don't have to stay there forever. And no, we don't need to be done with the money healing work before we get to the practical stuff. But I've heard time and time again, when you do some of that deeper work and you learn some of the tools on the body check-in and you start practicing that daily and all these money interactions, you start to have memories of, oh, I remember my mom paying the bills at the kitchen table and being really anxious. Oh, I remember my parents fighting behind closed doors. Or, oh, I remember this lovely memory of making money on my own, you know, for the first time, and on and on. And so we just start remembering things. And then we're bringing more awareness to all our spending and earning and saving in the moment, during it, and after, as a debriefing, to start to see what's working, what's not, what we want to shift. And when people actually get to the second phase, and in my year-long program, we do 4 months of money healing. And then when we get to the money practices, people are so much more ready to learn the language of money, to learn a bookkeeping system. They down the road fall in love with bookkeeping and they're like, you told me that this would happen and I never believed you that I'd fall in love with Quicken or QuickBooks. Like I wasn't good at math. I wasn't good at math growing up, but it has nothing to do with learning a bookkeeping system, you know? Right. So also people have the tools. Even when we get to create a financial support team, they go to sit down with a financial planner. And in the past, their eyes would glaze over. They'd be like, I don't even know what you're saying. I don't know what questions to ask. I feel stupid. Now you have the tools to check with your body and go, hey, wait. Right. Can you say that again? Or I have some questions for you. Or I'm going to go take a bathroom break. Right. And you learn how you bring the body check in with you, and you've just done a lot more work on what the set of emotions are. And so when they come up in that meeting, you're not as surprised or shocked, and you know how to work with them in the moment so much better. So that's why I like to start there, but it really is baby steps. It's celebrating along the way so you don't forget what the baby steps were that you took. Right. You know, sometimes I have people like write out like, what are all these changes and shifts that you're noticing? Because we forget once we're on to the next thing. We're like, you know, we just totally forget.
That we're human, right? It's like on to the next. Yeah.
Yes.
But it's really a spiral to me is what you, it feels like what you're describing, right? I'm going to do a little bit of healing, and I'm going to learn, get a little bit more literacy, and then I'm going to step into my stuff, and then step into really doing my bookkeeping. And then, oh, wait a minute, here's this other layer. You know, I really found that, you know, when all of the, I live outside of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And I found, you know, when all the riots were happening this summer, brand new level of awareness for myself, and, you know, my privilege and the guilt and the shame that went along with that. And to have tools to be able to deal with my own guilt and shame, I don't need to put that on anybody else, right? If that stops me from helping other people, right? So again, it's just part of that spiral and learning and embodying and moving forward. So, well, Barry, thank you so much. I've so pleased that you are here and willing to share your time and energy with all of us today. So I know that you're in the middle of registration for the Art of Money program, which is the big year-long program. Can you say a little bit more about how people can find out more about the program, find out more about you before we wrap up?
Sure. So my year-long program takes you through the three phases of the money healing for 4 months, money practices, and then money maps. Tons of guest teachers that I've been collaborating with for years, and incredible alumni. I've been doing the year-long for 9 years now. So, and teaching for almost 20. That gives my age. So yeah, I'm pushing 50. And so, yes. And so you can find out everything if you come to my website at barrytesler.com. And the biggest thing that I want to say that we're doing this year, which I've never done before, is I don't raise my pricing every year, and I haven't for 9 years. This year, though, we're adding in a buddy special. So we always had a couple special. You can sign up with your husband or wife or spouse, or right? And that was always for intimate romantic couples. But we decided to open up that pricing for anyone you want to bring, your mom, your daughter, your cousin, your best friend.
So fantastic.
It's a buddy pricing, and we're getting so many wonderful combinations, and it's making the community part stronger. It's just making me so happy to see that people are bringing a buddy. So that's an extra pricing discount that we're offering during this early bird that we're in right now that we've never offered. And I can't say we'll never do it again, but we've never done it, you know, and I'm really excited about it. So you can find out everything at my website, and I'm also on Instagram. I love Instagram. Those are good places to find me. Also by my name, Barry, B-A-R-I, Tesler.
Fantastic. And we'll have all of the ways people can get in touch with you in the show notes. So again, thank you so much. And I wish you well in your year-long program. Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about soul abundance and the different tenets that go into that new paradigm. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com. Get empowered.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Bloom, and you're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance here on Transformation Talk Radio. Just had a really wonderful conversation with Barry Tesler all about different aspects of the money relationship, the money game, all of the ways that we hold ourselves back with our shame, and ways that we can tune into the body to be able to allow ourselves to release, well, first of all, become aware of what we're feeling and then release the emotion. It's really important to have a whole set of tools in your toolbox when dealing with money. It is really, as you know, it can be very supercharged. It can create a lot of sensations. And, you know, as Barry said, we're not taught financial literacy. We're not taught emotional literacy as we're growing up. And we all have our own histories with whether we're told, how we're told about how to feel or what to feel. I know in my group of friends, I was always the person that felt the most. I am quite an emoter and learned very early on that not everybody was, right? So when you don't have the, again, as Barry says, the emotional literacy, you have a hard time being able to tune in and check into what your body is telling you about what you're feeling. And when we ignore that, that's when we start to tuck away old money beliefs. That's when we, right? So if you are, you know, let's say that you're checking your bank balance and it's lower than you thought it was, or you get a, let's say you get an overdraft notice from your bank and your body goes into that panic response, right? Your heart starts beating, you get that really terrible lump in the center of your stomach. And if you never really, it doesn't feel good, right? So if you don't learn how to check in and release that, you start to build up these beliefs that money is hard, money is painful, and you start to push away your own connection with your own connection with your money team, with your money relationship. So I would highly recommend, Barry has a book called The Art of Money, and she goes into a number of details there. Okay. All right. So what I would like to do next is, I talked at the beginning of the show today, really about stepping into a new paradigm. And I want to talk more specifically about how I see that new paradigm, because it's one thing to say, I want to do my money differently. It's one thing to say, I know that I'm not creating what I want, or I know that I have all of these stories and all of this history with money, but what is there to step into, right? It's hard to push something away if you don't have something new to step into. So let's talk about what this new paradigm is. And the easiest way to start talking about the new paradigm is to talk about what the old paradigm is. Okay. So when I think about the old paradigm of money, it the way I talk about it is to say that it is very ego-centered. And when I say ego-centered, what I mean by that is our ego is here to keep us safe and alive. And we've, as a culture, as a world, we've really started to take money as the entity, the physical thing that is going to keep us most safe. Right. When you look at your bank account and there isn't quite enough money in there, or when you look over your next 3-6 months of work, and you see that every moment is taken, but you don't feel like you can take a vacation because without it, you're not going to be able to create what it is that you want. Right. There's that feeling of not being safe, of not being able to live without some sort of pain and suffering. So a lot of the other tenets of this paradigm have grown out of this need for safety. So money, the old paradigm, is really about needing to get my money before somebody else does, right? Money feels very limited. It's a limited resource. So I better grab mine before somebody else gets theirs. Or other tenets of it are, I need to work really hard, right? Money is all about self-worth, and it's all about competition, and it's about protecting ourselves. And it really has a very individual focus. I'm going to sit here, I'm going to create my mountain of money and put my arms around it and protect it. Okay. It's a little bit of anthropomorphizing what we say about money, but that's the general paradigm. Okay. So what if we're going to let that go? How are we going to do that? So when you start by, instead of being ego-centered, if we shift that into being soul-centered, it starts to change everything. And here's the first way that it starts to change things. When you understand how to connect with your soul, when you understand how to connect with your own divinity, what you know is, no matter what's going on around you, you're always safe. That can take some practice to understand, but when you're connected and you allow yourself to be in connection with your own divinity, repeating it one more time, right? When you know that you are of the divine and that is never going to go away, your safety is insured. So we get to drop the fight or flight. We get to drop the competition. We get to drop a lot of the old paradigm. We can just let it shed away, because we don't need money in that way. The divine creates that for us. The other thing that happens when we put soul at the center of our relationship with money, when we put soul in the center of this new paradigm, is that we remember that the roots of money are divine. The divine or source, nature, God, goddess, whatever your name is for that, which is this bigger energy than us, right? That source is the source of where the money comes from. We do actions out in the world because those are the resources that source is giving us to give us the money. But the actual source of our money is the divine. Right. Again, we get to shed a lot of the old paradigm when we settle into that. It isn't about how much we work. It's not how many hours we put in. It's not how much we prove to other people of prove our value or our worth. Right. It's a resource of the divine that is ours for the taking. Or maybe, to use a more soul abundant friendly term, ours to receive, ours to allow, right? So again, in this model of soul abundance, we also know that because source is the source of money, it's unlimited. We don't have to fight and scrap. We don't have to worry about, you know, the next guy next door. We don't have to worry about anything other than allowing our own flow to flow. And we have access to unlimited resources. And your partner has the same access. And your friend across the street has the same access. We all have that same ability to tap into the unlimited flow of divinity. Competition goes away. The other thing that goes away when we all have access is the idea that, right, we have to be in competition. Right? We have this unlimited resource. We get to be much more community minded. We get to be much more value-based, and we get to let go of the idea that money is what brings power. If everyone on the planet has the same access, then the person who has happened to gather the most resources no longer has the same power base. Right? It becomes much more even. And it isn't so much about taking money away from the people who have it. It's about the people who don't have it learning how to create it. You know, I just had a conversation with a client the other day who was talking about how she felt like the resources on this planet are very badly divided, right? You have an actor, an actress who takes part in a movie that makes, you know, I don't know, millions, billions of dollars. Who gets that money? And her philosophy was it shouldn't just go to that one person. That's too much. Right? There are people with way too much money, and things cost too much. And we really need to bring that down so that, you know, those of us who don't have as much can have better access. And I will say that there is a part of me that recognizes that there are inequities on this planet. The way that we value certain skills is inequitable. I have a daughter who is a high school chemistry teacher. And when I look at the impact that she has on her students, it's phenomenal, right? It's life-changing. She's teaching them problem-solving skills. She's teaching them how to think and to think through complex issues. And again, that's a life skill that I want, right, in that next generation. And then I look at what her salary is, and I compare it to somebody else who, you know, may or may not be making that same impact on the next generation, but is earning several zeros more than what she is, right? So there are some inequities to look at, but I don't think the answer is bringing everybody down. Okay, money is unlimited. And if we spend our time worrying about what somebody else has, or looking at that number and thinking, I can never have it, that's not fair, all that does is cut us off from our own flow. Right? So if we, soul abundance is at the same time very community minded, but also very individual minded. It's very much about you learning how to create this personal and specific relationship that you have with money. It's all about being able to learn how to sit at the table with the divine and with money, because those are the two other aspects of your money relationship, and know that you're sitting there in equality. And if I'm here in this relationship, how do I then allow money to flow to me? When we get really angry about the outside world and what it's doing and who has it and who has the power and who doesn't, all we're doing is severing, and that's maybe that's too big of a word, but it depends on how angry we are, but we sever our connection, right? At the heart of the soul abundance paradigm is your vertical connection with the divine and with understanding that you are a unique strand of that divine and you have access to all of those resources, okay? So, like I said, it's this delicate balance between knowing that everyone has access, everyone is equal, and I get to direct my specific relationship. Okay. The last piece that I want to share about the soul abundance model is the fact that it acknowledges that with money being rooted in the divine, that money is about joy. That money really, really, really equates to the frequency of both love and joy. And I know that that can seem, if you haven't really ever thought about that before, if you are knee deep in your finances, if you're knee deep in a job that seems like it is soul sucking, but you feel like you have to do it to meet everybody's expectations, it can feel like joy and love are the furthest thing from where you are. But when you allow yourself to come back to that knowing, to come back to that understanding that the frequency is truly love and joy, if you let yourself start to experience that, now you have a brand new way of stepping into a new expectation out of your money relationship. And when you can have that new expectation out of your money relationship, now you can have lots and lots of different results. Okay. So I just want you to, just for a moment, before we wrap up today, I just want you to close your eyes and take a couple of deep breaths. And I want you to notice what it feels like in your body so let's do it this way. I want you to imagine in front of you is a large pile of money. And I want you to imagine that radiating from that pile of money is this sense of joy and limitless and inclusion and inherent worthiness, right? You're part of the divine. The divine is part of you. You have inherent worthiness. You have nothing to do to earn this money that's in front of you. It's yours because you exist. And notice what that does to your body. Allow that fight or flight or freeze response that generally comes up around money to just dissolve away. Okay. All right. So take a nice deep breath in and come back. So if you are curious about learning more about soul abundance or about tools, the soul money language tool that allows you to understand more of your own personal connection to the divine and your personal and specific relationship with money, I'm going to invite you to come to my website, which is jenniferbloom.com. You are also, when you're there, you're able to take a free quiz, which helps you understand your money relationship and gives you exercises to do that will help you, again, understand those connections to the different aspects of the money relationship and start your path to really sitting in the money relationship in this new paradigm of soul abundance. You can also find me on my page on Facebook, which is Soul Abundance, where we do lots of conversation about this. So there's lots of ways to really learn and immerse yourself in this new information. All right, everybody, we are rapidly coming to a close here, and it has been my pleasure to spend this time together with you. And I'm hoping that you will continue to join in this conversation. The show is every first and third Friday of the month. And we've got a really great show coming up next week, or next time we're on, first part of November, the day after the election. And we're going to be talking with a client and a colleague of mine who has been using her money soul languages in her new business. So we're going to get a firsthand account of how all of this works, so we can really bring some tangibility in. All right. So everyone, until we meet again, I offer you prosperous blessings. Have a great couple of weeks, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.